This is Real History with Melissa. It is the 7th of March, 2024, and I'm on with Neil Foster. And naturally, we've had ghosts or gremlins in the machine. I can hear myself talking, which is awful, but at least I can hear Neil. So, hey, how are you?
I'm fine, and I hope you can still hear me.
Yes, I can. So okay. Tell me about your trip.
Well, I guess we'll start at the airport in Orlando. I kind of got lucky because there was a big crowd in front of me, young adults and children and stuff. And you've got the choice of going through the scanner. You've got to put your hands up as if you're going to be shot. And just the ordinary metal detector, you just walk through. And as this big party was going through, the guy was obviously, he didn't want, you know, 10, 12 people going through the x-ray machine because it could hold a whole queue up. So he was just saying, are you with them? Yeah. Are you with them? Yeah. And he came to me and said, are you with them? I said, yeah. And I just walked right through. So I got away with that one. But they still take the shoes off and the belts off in Orlando. Hmm. And then coming back, well, I get to London. And of course, I try to shepherd everybody into the automatic passport scanning machine. So you don't have to deal with a person. And there was people in front of me putting their passports in. It was saying, try again, try again, try again. And it would do that 3 times. And then it would say, seek assistance. So it came to my turn. I put my passport in. And immediately it said, seek assistance. So, all right, here we go. So I go over to the goon in his little box. And he goes, what were you doing in Florida? I said, what do you mean? What was I doing? I lived there. And he said, this isn't what you're doing here. I says, well, I'm a British citizen. I'm visiting my family. Okay, then he says, off you go. And I thought, well, what's that about? He obviously didn't know an awful lot if he didn't know I lived in Orlando, because I had to use my green card at the airport to get on the plane. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what information they're looking at, but they clearly don't know what they're talking about. I'll just stick with the airport. We'll do the coming back. But coming back in London, You don't take your shoes off of your belt. And they've done away with all the liquid checks. So you don't have to bother with that either. So I guess they must think the terrorists have given up a shoe bombing and liquid bombs. Or maybe they just don't go to airports. Maybe that's what it is. And that's kind of the way it's always been, I think. No terrorist in their right mind would go to an airport, would they? They'd pick somewhere far easier. But London coming back, that was it. That was quite easy. Just walk through, really. And I say they don't check anything there anymore. So I guess I'm not scared of anybody anymore.
But, you have to wonder about these things, like exercises, like what we've lived through for the last 4 years, did train you into a certain compliance. Is that the whole point of 20 plus years of this kind of stuff?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd mentioned to you, I think, before I went, the last time I'd flown, people were taking their shoes off and nobody was asking them to do it. Mm-hmm. They were just doing it automatically because they thought they had to. But there was a couple of them in London doing the same thing. I guess they were maybe Americans coming back who'd done it on the way out, you know, and thought they had to do it. But it's crazy. There was actually a guy in front of me in one of the queues, and I said to him, we're still doing the shoe thing. He says, yeah, it's crazy. I says, yeah, it is. And I got through the other side, and the same guy was there, and he was putting his shoes on the same bench as me. And I says, what is this all about? It's achieving nothing. I says, I think it must be in the stateside, because I said, the TSA, the TSA has never caught a single terrorist ever in an airport. And he says, really? I says, yeah, really. I says, it's all nonsense. And he kind of agreed, you know. So, you know, there are already people out there getting sick of it. So that's a good thing.
And do you remember at the beginning of 2020 when they talked about certain changes to your feet was a sign that you had COVID?
I don't remember that one, but then there's been so many.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking that they could combine taking your shoes off at the airport with checking to make sure you don't show signs of COVID.
Yeah, they've probably got some little Chinese folk there with masks on and a foot spa. And they go, yeah. Oh, there you go, go over there. That's a new security check. And you can have some goldfish eat the skin off your feet at the same time. Yeah, then maybe they'll double it up as a kind of foot massage parlour and security checkpoint. just so you don't know. And then the alarm will go off. Oh, you got COVID. How'd you know? Well, you got smelly feet. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so yeah, that was the airport. A bit better than I thought it was going to be.
So how was your family?
I'll start off by saying my parents are fully jabbed up. Mm. And you can notice the difference.
Really?
My mother's, I mean, they talk about turbo cancer. My mother's got turbo dementia.
Oh.
And it's like the same 50 questions in the space of, you know, half an hour over and over again all day. My dad, it's like he's given up on life. He's 88 this year, but he was 83 the last time I saw him. He was still playing golf. He was still going out to the pub to watch the music. He was playing guitar. He'd always put a tiny little bet on the horses on a Saturday, and that's what he does on a Saturday, like £1.20 or something. And, he even stopped doing that. He's done that since I've known him.
You know, stopped.
They've just given up.
So you talked to them regularly and all through the last 4 years and since you've mm-hmm. seen them. When did you start to notice that, or did you?
I noticed it with my dad a little bit. He's a little bit confused and a little bit, his hearing gone a little bit. I didn't really notice it with my mother because I wouldn't really speak to her on camera. It's mainly my dad I spoke to and she'd been in the background. But the difference with her was chalk and cheese. You know, I mean, she was getting old, obviously, the last time I saw her. She was 81 the last time I saw her. But nothing anywhere near what she's like now.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, she's, well, I don't want to go into it. It's just, yeah. Some of the things she does is just nuts. But,
just out of curiosity, have they ever been open to hearing anything that you have to say?
No.
No.
Okay. No, my sister's kind of clued up a bit. And she'll say things to my dad now and again. Well, she was trying to stop him taking the jabs just as I was. And all he comes out with, he watches the BBC all the time.
Yeah.
The news and stuff. And it's, I don't want to hear any of your fake news. So he's got the terminology of the BBC and that's it, you know.
Yeah.
He sticks with that. But I'll say things to him about politicians and stuff being corrupt on him and he agrees. I'll say, well, why are you voting for them? You know? Yeah. Why are you doing what they tell you? There's no getting through to him on that anymore now. I think he's just, as I say, you know, time's short. No point trying to argue with him.
How about your son?
Yeah, he was fine. He was there with the family. I mean, the weather was atrocious. The whole time my son was there, it rained every day. And the whole time I was there, it rained every day. So we didn't really get out and about that much. He came over to my parents every day. And, we spent some time together with the grandkids. Yeah, that was fine. And, took them out for breakfast and stuff like that. And had a couple of meals with them. Which, they're doing as best they can under the circumstances back in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, everybody's struggling, basically. But they'll be over here in May, so that'll be a bit different.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I'm just, I'll wait to, he was to get a couple of passports renewed, so.
And he's able to bring his children?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
So that's, So yeah, I should hear about that on Friday and I can book the flights at last because the prices keep going up. But, so that's May and 22nd of May. Should be over. Yeah, as I say, I didn't really get out that much. I went out with my sister to the store to get stuff from my parents a couple of times. And that's where I took those. I think I only sent you 4 photographs of things that were kind of out of the ordinary. Yeah, maybe we'll talk about them. Where are they?
Sure,
yeah, the one I think I'd mentioned before, this was a long time ago, that they started putting the cardboard cutout policemen in the doors. Well, they're starting to look a lot more realistic, as you can see from that photograph.
Yes.
But what, I mean, that thing's double-sided. Uh-huh. Right, I should point out, it's double-sided, so you've got the same image looking at you on the street as well.
Yeah, that image, all included in the little video illustration, but the image, I would have thought at a glance that it was a real policeman, and then even studying it, his feet were just at the point of the trim of the door, and if they'd been down further, I would have been convinced it was a real policeman.
Yeah. I mean, at a glance from the I mean, I'm only, what, 10 feet away there when I took that photograph or so. 10, 12 feet. And if you look at the street on the other side, that's a little bit further away. And if you were driving past, you would think that was a police officer. These things are everywhere. This was in a supermarket. I'd only ever seen them before in a gas station, petrol stations. That's the only place they used to be. Now they're all over the place.
I wonder if they've done studies to show them what kind of an effect that has on people. I doubt it deters criminals at all. It just has a weird psychological effect on the normal person.
Well, yeah, you do a double take. Because you wonder, why is a policeman standing at the window, staring in at you? I mean, is he there to prevent shoplifting? I mean, I don't know. But I guess a policeman with two faces, right?
Yeah.
So that was one of the pictures. And then the other one, which just made me laugh. And this was in, I think it was Asda, which is Walmart in the UK. Under 25, ? Now, I don't know why the age was. Face coverings make checking age more difficult for our colleagues. You may be asked to temporarily remove yours when buying age-restricted products. So you've got to take your mask off to prove your age. Mm-hmm. Supposedly when there's this deadly virus going around that could kill you suddenly. And they're more worried about your ID. I thought it was all about your safety. It's only when you're buying age-restricted products, of course, you know.
Well, it's more harmful to drink something if you're 18, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, well, it's under 25 now. You've got to prove yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, it used to be kind of difficult to tell if somebody was 18 or not. Okay, fair enough. You might need to know if they're under the legal framework of being allowed to drink alcohol. But under 25, I mean, now you're stretching it. They could be anywhere from, 20 to 30. How are you supposed to know? Some people look old at 25, some people look young. Mm-hmm. I mean, who knows? But yeah, it's for your safety. So take your mask off. We want to see who you are so that when you get ill, we can avoid you. Maybe that's what it is. And they've still got the signs painted on the roads. This was outside a post office, I think, the Keep Your Distance one.
Mm-hmm.
Keep Your Distance, thank you. it's all a service, isn't it? Thank you for your service, keeping your distance from me. And the other one was this is really guilt-tripping people. The pick up a pack for the food bank. You know, you can spend £5, £10, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, the supermarkets are packing these bags, right?
Right.
And I guarantee you they're not putting the best of stuff in there.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you they're putting the stuff that's nearly out of date in there to get rid of it, and they're still making money on it. So they really care, don't they, about the hungry homeless, sleeping outside their door. Well, they won't be sleeping outside their doors because there's a scary cardboard policeman out there. They won't be allowed to. Yeah, so that was in, I saw that, I think this was Asda again. Or Morrison's, right. But I think the same thing was in the other supermarket as well. So,
well,
yeah, it's,
speaking of sleeping outside or the homeless or what in the UK they call sleeping rough, this mm-hmm. might be a good time to talk about that video that you sent me of the woman that's being visited and interviewed by the two gentlemen she has received a letter in the mail that said her home could be taken over if it's needed for immigrants. It could be purchased by the local council.
Compulsory purchase, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
she's just going to be forced to take them.
Yes, and any repairs the home needs could put it under the qualification of being a derelict house. So they could come and say, your house needs a new roof and it needs new siding or it needs double-paned windows, whatever. And then they can give you a reduced payment for those repairs that they say that they'll need to do after they basically steal your house from you.
Yeah.
And they said in the letter, this isn't an ideal situation. It would be better if we could just erect housing for immigrants, but we might not be able to. And if we're not able to, heads up, we might take your house.
Yeah,
or buy it on the cheap?
Well, I don't think they're gonna buy it. They're just gonna take it as you say though. It's they could just as easily turn around and say, well, this house isn't insulated well enough.
Right.
And we have to take it off you because it's not fit to live in due to the climate change.
And the woman said she called her council and they said, oh, don't worry about it. It's just a form letter. Nobody's going to take your house. Well, why send the letter out?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, they've spent money, taxpayers' money, sending letters out that they say, oh, don't worry about it. It doesn't mean anything. So they're wasting taxpayers' money as well.
And it's a pensioner, a woman who's probably 70 or older.
She's paid for that house.
She's paid for the house, and she's terrified she might lose it. So she has to live with that stress.
Yeah. Well, they're probably going to stress her so much that she's going to downsize, and they'll get that house off her anyway.
Yeah.
Somehow. Well, you know, I don't know. They'll probably terrify her to death. Who knows? But I wonder if this lady had any children. Maybe they're just picking on people who've nobody to leave it to. Because if that was myself in that situation, I'd sign it over to my children. So they couldn't take it. Or something. Do something anyway. But, that's happening in Ireland as well. They're talking about that. Taking, so-called refugees into the home. And, I've seen some of these guys go out with the cameras and stuff. And they've done it in the States as well. Where they've got these useful idiots marching up and down the street saying refugees welcome and all this kind of thing. And every one of them that gets asked, well, will you take one in your house? Will you take a refugee from Africa in your house or from Venezuela or wherever that happens to be? A Chinese? Oh, I don't have the space. That's the stock answer. They've obviously been told to say that. But, none of them are willing to take anybody. But these are the ones carrying the placards. You know, saying refugees welcome. Mm-hmm. Just not in my house. Thank you very much. Or my suburb, you know. But hypocrites, that's all.
That's like, remember when, I think it was Nancy Pelosi had said that the refugees should be allowed in, there should be no quibbling about it or protesting, but she's got a fully gated house, and when protesters came and said, okay, we want you to open up your property for us, she sang quite a different tune.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course. Of course. And we know they're hypocrites. They'll never inflict anything on themselves that they want to inflict on us.
Mm-hmm. So but, while you were there, you got to meet and have a hike with Angry North.
I did, yes. A rather windy, wet and sleety, muddy hike up in the hills off the coast of Devon. Yeah, that was fun. It was fun. I did fall on my butt and got all muddy, but there you go. I wasn't prepared. It didn't tell me where we were going. I wasn't prepared for a hike. I only brought one pair of shoes with me to visit my parents, so I wasn't prepared for going hiking up the hills, but there we go. Uh-huh. We did it anyway. Had something to eat and a beer and a game of pool, and that was it.
You sent some pretty pictures of that hike.
Well, it doesn't show you how cold it was, or windy or wet. But yeah, it's quite spectacular scenery. But he's an interesting chap, as you can imagine.
He's moving house right now.
Not right now. I think he's got a couple of months to find somewhere else to live, I think. Okay. Right. So he's kind of busy with that, and he's got work stuff to do and bits and pieces already would have been on today.
Okay. Well, now, he's busy, but have you gotten any further along with your music collaboration?
No, he's just, he's been busy with one thing or another, and he got the notice to leave his house, so then that was on top of what he was already doing, so he's, I guess he's packing, I don't know.
Well, he's a renter, but hopefully that he wasn't being booted out to make room for some refugees.
Who knows? Yeah. Who knows? I don't think I'll ever find that one out. Yeah, so that was that. I asked him again today, but he did say he was busy. So where's that take us?
There is something that you sent me that I looked into because it was obviously a shocking video, and I thought that it was meant to be shocking. So by design, they were trying to rile you up. and I looked into it, and I found some very interesting things to say about that. So this is a black lecturer at, was it University of California, San Francisco, guest speaker? And he was saying all whites are psychopaths.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And everything about white culture is psychopathic. And the laws that whites allow themselves allow men to get away with raping black women, and there's no redress for the raped black woman. And then he went on and on about how since there's this colonial mindset, it's built into the genes of white people to be psychopaths, so on. So I didn't want to just take the video. Now, I don't have at the moment, because I can't talk to you and look at that, but who was that put out the little soundbite, the clip? But sure enough, that happened. He did lecture there, and that was just a couple, 3 weeks ago. But when I was looking for this, I found a story from 2021, and it was Yale lecturer who fantasized about killing white people says white people are psychopathic. And what was interesting about this is that she used the exact same language in the exact same way that this gentleman used supposedly 3 years later. She said, for instance, the level of lying that white people do that has started since colonialism, we're just used to it. He said the same thing. And then she said, this level of lies are actually part of history, on and on. And she talked about it, the connecting it to colonial times, colonialism. He used the same language. What I realized was, I'm looking at one of two things. Fake news that is put out by mainstream media. Something that's completely made up. Now, I looked into both of these people. The woman, the Yale lecturer, is Dr. Aruna Kilanani. And the black
Kilanani,
yeah. And the black man was Dante King. Now, the interesting thing about Dante King is that he works for basically the transit department. He's a DEI employee. He's the head of racial equity, the racial equity action plan for the city and so forth. But he says it's his mission to lecture on the condition of white people that is in our genes. He says here, he's the author of the new book, The 400-Year Holocaust, White America's Legal, Psychopathic, and Sociopathic Genocide, and the Revolt Against Critical Race Theory. And it gives you, he's got all these, he's assistant professor of medical education, Mayo Clinic College of Medicine Science. He's a guest faculty lecturer, University of California, San Francisco School of Medicine, on and on. But he has either plagiarized this Yale lecturer so that huge chunks of her lectures have found their way into his lectures and his writing, or else the entire thing is made up. And I almost incline towards the second scenario, because the other day I was looking at an article that Alan Watt had read about 4 or 5 years ago. And I just wanted to see if there was anything new there. And there wasn't anything new, but the exact thing that he had read back in 2019, maybe, was being put out by no less than Bloomberg News as a brand new news story. And at the time, I thought, you know, I've seen this a lot, where something that they tell us is brand new, I know is a recycled news story totally. Because one thing that Alan did, taught me to do, is save everything. All the articles, they go on a hard drive, they go on a flash drive, you've backed it up. You've got the article, you can look for it. So I can see that what they're telling me in 2024 is news, is a recycled, completely recycled story that was out, say, 5, 6, 10 years ago. And I think that this inflammatory, outrageous rhetoric that these lecturers, these so-called academics are putting out there, has actually been made up for them by somebody else, and they're just mouthpiece.
Yeah, we spoke about this last month about Yuval Harari.
Yeah.
The same thing. Intellectuals, yes. They call themselves.
Yes.
Yeah. It's almost like the woman, Aruna
Kulanani,
has put that out, and they've got a reaction then. Mm-hmm. And maybe it wasn't as strong as they wanted it, so they just recycle it and say, oh, the time's right now, let's go for this again, see what see what happens. You know, see what kind of reaction we get from the public.
And so...
California, of course.
Yeah.
Try it out there first.
Back in 2021, hers got coverage. Here it is from the New York Post. She said she fantasized about shooting white people. She's a New York City psychiatrist who stunned a Yale School of Medicine audience in April when she revealed her fantasies of unloading a revolver into the head of any white person that got in my way, and characterized white people as psychopathic.
Well, I'm just looking at, it was reported on Fox News as well, and it's... said she made her claim while appearing on Black News Tonight. And she looks like she's either drunk or on drugs. That's just a still photograph, but she doesn't look like an intellectual to me. I mean, if you or I were to go on air and say, well, we fantasize about shooting black people, we'd have a knock on the door and the cops would be busting it down.
Absolutely.
And that'd be you. You'd be put in a psych ward. But it seems if you're an academic, you can really say anything you want and get away with it because you're an academic. You're just spouting a theory, you know?
Yeah. And I think part of this whole tactic is everything that they've been doing since the BLM, big riots. I think it's a divide and conquer strategy.
Mm-hmm.
I have black friends that I feel are being honest with me, and none of them have ever said, I think all white people are psychopathic and I'd like to kill you all. Yeah. This is a deliberate strategy to get people not to notice what's really going on and who their common enemy is, because we do have a common enemy.
Yeah, yeah. But it makes you wonder if these characters actually realize that they're going to be on the killing field eventually as well. They're not going to get away with this. You know, the people that are after us are after them as well.
Mm-hmm.
They're just being used. They're being used more than we are. You know, they're being used to make us go along with a certain train of thought, which they think they can get through to us. I'm sure it gets through to some mentally ill people. But the vast majority of people surely can't fall for this rubbish. Even black people.
No.
You know, so it's only the Antifa, Black Lives Matter thugs that'll kind of go along with this because they're deranged anyway. Again, you know, we saw that during the peaceful protests with the burning buildings in the background. It's those kinds of characters that she's probably falling into that bracket. She'd probably be on the streets there smashing the windows with them.
Our short-term memories have been harmed, damaged, And most people, like your father, for instance, who doesn't trust the politicians, but he trusts them when they tell him to go get a shot and get boosted. Mm-hmm. It's this inability to be able to put together your experiences of what you've lived through and what you've read and place it against what you're currently seeing and hearing. And I just thought, after looking at all of that, what an excellent exercise it would be to show identical news stories or chunks of text that come from one story that years ago were used. It makes me think of Orwell's 1984, when everything was generated by a machine. Pornography, well, music, and news. Now, aren't we? Yeah.
You could be looking at the news now, from what I've seen, and not being able to tell if these people are actually who they are. They can generate facial images, everything, the AI, and you cannot tell the difference if that's a real person or not. And it just, you know, a bit of green screen, put a head in a suit, they tell you the news, and that's it. Mm-hmm. All these people are going to be out of work. I mean, I hope they realise that. You know, every one of them, all the journalists, all the lawyers, you know, I mean, we could do without a few lawyers, I'm sure, and the media people, all of them, they're all going to be obsolete, aren't they?
Well, and the academics too.
Yeah, you can't be more clever than the AI.
You don't need to pay an academic $200,000 a year to write communist, Marxist nonsense.
No, you've got a computer to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, everybody, journalists, a whole lot, they're all gone. And I wonder what they're going to do. You know, all these people have been lying their whole life. That these newsreaders, the so-called journalists, the politicians, even the politicians are obsolete. Because we won't need them either. Because AI will make decisions, because it's smarter. Mm-hmm. You know, what are they going to do? Because they've done nothing their whole lives, most of them. Nothing constructive anyway. You know, something boil an egg would struggle. You know, and these journalists are just eating junk food and drinking themselves to death and snorting things up their nose most of the time. They probably wouldn't know artificial reality from reality anyway, even today, because they're writing stuff that's totally unreal. I wonder how that affects their heads every day of the week, because they've got to know they're lying.
On a level, absolutely.
Anyway, we're getting off topic a bit, but in a way, it'll be good to have all these people obsolete. But the problem is, young people are going to be trained to trust the computer now. Trust mm-hmm. the computer, you know, mm-hmm. trust the AI. And if they even give it a second thought, they must realise that something's programmed that. It's not intelligent in its own right. It's been given mm-hmm. a set of parameters to work with, an ideology, whatever. And that's what's going to spout. It's not going to deviate from it. Because it can't.
Yeah,
because it's not intelligent.
Artificial intelligence and brainwashing. About... Mm. Oh, maybe once a month or once every 6 weeks or so, I have a little binge watch, usually on a Sunday night when the bulk of my work is done and I'm just unwinding and preparing for the next week. And last night I did that. Mm-hmm. There was an 8-part series on Netflix, which obviously I didn't watch at all. But I binge watched, sped through about 3 hours of it. I didn't need to see the ending or who done it. I just wanted to get a feel for what they were putting across. And it was called Fool Me Once. Mm. And it doesn't matter what the story is. I was just looking for social messages, what we're supposed to emulate, what they want us to see. And in one scene, one key thing was that the two youngsters, a boy of about 11 and his sister maybe 13, they could figure everything out. They knew how to use the computer, how to find things really quickly, do searches online and so forth. And they are tracking down their half-brother through a DNA thing, and they end up at a company that's like sort of like a campus like Google. would be, like have a big spacious campus. And they show up there and they need to get in, but they don't have a pass. And they're met at the door by a robot that, you know, wheels around like a vacuum cleaner kind of robot. And he's about 3 feet high. And he comes right up to the children and he said, please state the nature of your visit and your preferred pronouns. Yeah. And the young girl said, we're here to see X, she, her. To me, that was about when I decided I'd had enough of that speed watching, you know, overdose on Netflix. Now, I got what they're teaching youngsters is, when somebody asks you your preferred pronoun, you hop to, you snap with it, you say, she, her. It's not just, I'm a girl, they know, she, her.
See, we're not allowed to presume that somebody's a man or a woman, right?
Uh-uh.
We're supposed to ask them. Mm-hmm. But by the same token, if somebody comes up to me and says, what's your preferred pronoun? I should be able to say, how dare you assume that I'm not a man? Just turn it back on them.
Yeah.
Don't answer the question. Don't answer. Just say, how dare you assume that I'm not a man? Who gave you that right? And you've no right to know what pronoun I use either. But you can guess, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting, though, that it's a formula. I'm a she, her, or a he, him, or theirs.
It doesn't make any sense grammatically. Who are you here to see? I'm here to see she. Well, that doesn't make any sense, does it?
No, it was two separate questions. Who are you here to see? And what are your preferred pronouns? In other words, how should the robot be addressing you? That's just insane.
Yeah, but how are you supposed to answer the question about who you've come to see if you don't know what their preferred pronouns are? I'm here to see Miss. Oh, maybe it's Mister. I don't know. It's either Mrs. Smith or Mr. Smith. I'm not sure. Mr. Smith and a Mrs.
Smith?
You gotta
get up to speed. Nobody uses Mister and Mrs. anymore. Did you see that in Canada where you're not some form? They said it's not right to say that you have a mother and father on an official document.
Yeah, well, yeah. The recent referendum in Ireland, which was defeated by something like 90% of the vote.
I heard about that.
I don't know if it was just so. I didn't have really time to look into the ins and outs of it, but I saw the result, mm-hmm. And it's sometimes 95% in some places. But it's, you know, I think the average is about 89-90% said no to both. Mm-hmm. Both, there was something about the constitution. But they wanted to remove the word mother from the Irish constitution. And I can't remember what the other thing was about. But anyway, they voted unanimously. I mean, unanimously. So unanimously that the government should actually walk. That's how much they're against them. There's never been a result like it anywhere in the world, I think, unless you're probably talking about communist China and who votes for the party leader kind of thing. But, so it must have been such an obvious no vote that they couldn't possibly steal it. You know, they must be going through the ballot papers going, no, 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 no. So, very difficult to steal that one. But they'll come back again. Mm-hmm. They'll come back for referendum two, you know, and they'll just reword it the same as they did with Lisbon, you know, and, they'll get their way eventually.
Well, they will. I mean, look at what happened with abortion in Ireland. So, yeah, mm-hmm. They hammer away.
Same-sex marriage, a whole lot.
Yeah. Did you...
Talking about TV series, just before we go off the TV thing, my parents watch TV all day, and it's not really modern stuff. They tend to watch older things that they've watched plenty of times before. But at least there's none of this nonsense in it. Although, if you watch the Doctor ones, there's always, oh, they've got your shots and all this kind of stuff. But, I think the thing about the COVID TV drama.
Yes.
There's a three-part on ITV, and it's called Breathtaking.
Yes.
And there's two, I don't know which one I sent you, there seems to be two trailers for it. But the one that was getting played on British television was, it was all high drama, emergency wards, trolleys getting pushed about the place, people shouting and screaming, oh, I'm going to die, all this kind of, you know. And thankfully, my dad says, I won't be watching that. And I was quite surprised. I thought he would, but I think he doesn't want to be terrified again. You know, but this is the junk they're putting on television. Well, just to get you ready for the next one, I guess.
Absolutely. And I took a quick peek at that, and it just made me angry. It said rage, relief
and recognition.
The TV version of my book, Breathtaking, has opened a floodgate. So this is the author. And it said, during the COVID pandemic, NHS staff were treated as expendable. The emotional response to our series suggests they still feel this way, which is ridiculous. We lived through it. We witnessed it. We saw those dancing nurses. We saw people lean out of their window and applaud them every night.
Yep.
They were treated like gods.
Yeah, we saw the ones that spoke out getting sacked.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't treated well.
No.
They were the only ones that weren't treated well. The rest of them were held up to be gods.
Absolutely. So,
you know,
our minds are so messed with and damaged that they can rewrite history 4 years later and people buy it. They sit in front of their television with a bucket of popcorn and buy it. It's awful.
Well, one of the little quotes in this thing is, I was called lying, murdering scum and a government shill on a mass euthanasia program. Well, somebody got it right.
Yeah, I saw it.
And the one further down is, no sympathy for striking doctors. Watch ITV's Breathtaking and ask, have we paid our debt to them? wait until they get sued. They'll be paying their debt to the people they killed off. Because I think they're going to get thrown under the bus pretty shortly. The government's coming out and saying that, we only took the doctor's advice. Mm-hmm. You know, that the politicians are running for the hills and the doctors are getting left to carry the can. And now it turns out, I just read yesterday, I didn't send it to you, that there's going to be a lawsuit taken against Pfizer because their indemnity, I think it might be in the UK, the indemnity they were given is illegal. So we'll see what happens with that. Probably nothing, but at least if it gets into court, it's something. You know, people can hear about it. I wouldn't think anybody from Pfizer's going to prison anytime soon. But yeah, that was just the TV. And that's another thing about the TV over there. Every ad break, there's some charity begging for money. Maybe one or two ads in every ad break. But if it's the RSPCA, it's cancer research, it's all sorts of things. They're all begging for money. And they've got the same, it seems to be the same person narrating them all. The same kind of sympathetic voice, and it shows you the animals who have been treated badly and all this. Nothing about dying babies. There was one about the children's hospital that needs money because children are dying of cancer at 5 years old. Nobody's asking the question, why is this happening? You know, but it's just it's like the begging box now. Mm-hmm. You know, there must be advertisers must be finding it hard to pay the fees because it just seems to be all these charities when they're begging for money. You know.
Well, that tells you something. The charities are the only ones who can afford to buy advertising.
Yeah, yeah, because they're getting a lot of money.
Yeah.
Or the six-figure salaries.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So another thing in the UK, of course, is conscription. I think they mentioned it a few weeks, about a month ago or so, and then they put it out again, looking for conscripts to go and fight in Ukraine. Other NATO allies urging other countries to step up and put your young boys out there to get slaughtered. But then we hear reports about, Britain's going to send 1,000 drones to Ukraine. Well, if you got drones, why do you need soldiers? So it's nothing to do with troops on the ground. They don't need troops on the ground in war these days. They've got enough weaponry to do without that. So they just want to get rid of young men. That's my opinion. And I said to my dad, I said, why don't they just round up all these fighting age young men that have come from Africa and say, well, you want to be a British citizen? Right, there you go. There's your uniform. Just the same as they did to the Irish and the Scots when they sent them to America. Just do that. See how they feel about being... You want to stay in Britain, you've got to do 2 years of this. There's the deal. There's the deal. See how you like that. I bet they go back to Africa on the first flight. There you go. What else have we got? Okay, well, we've got the lettuce vaccine. Did you see that?
Oh, yes, I did.
Well, it's only lettuce, of course. There'll never be anything else. Only lettuce. Yeah. And don't be surprised if they're already doing it. It's California again, so we'll try anything.
Well, actually, what this is some congressman, right? He's a Republican from Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And he went in front of the Congress and said that the public needs to be wary of vaccines and know that the technology exists for the vaccines to be put into foods. He just
wants them to be clearly labeled.
Yes. Yeah, he said lettuce, tomatoes, and tobacco. And they said, well, is this a problem in Tennessee? Do you sell food that has vaccines in it? And he said, well, that's not the point. The point is, it could happen, and what if people aren't getting the right dosage? I'm a big guy. You're a smaller man. Mm-hmm. We have to know how much lettuce we need to get the right dosage. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
It's the same as Bill Gates' mosquitoes, isn't it? Mm-hmm. How many times are you going to get bitten?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, how many shots do you need?
Yeah.
You know, does the mosquito know you've been stung already and go, oh, he's had his dose, I'll fly on to the next mug. You know, he wasn't concerned about the actual fact that it was in the food.
No.
He just wanted people to be aware of it, apparently.
Yeah.
I bet he wasn't going to eat it.
No. Well, speaking of dosages, one that I covered last week was a story that I read out of Germany. A man had had 217 COVID vaccines, and evidently, he was doing a scheme so that he could get falsified COVID certificates and sell them to people. I think it's a made up story, but
I don't see how that's possible. How many names has the guy got?
Well, I think he used his, I think it's a made up story.
Yeah.
But the point that they were trying to make in the made up story is,
you can
have more than 200 and it doesn't hurt your immune system. It seems to really beef your immune system up.
It made that guy a criminal. It made that guy a criminal. So it changed something, didn't it?
Yeah.
Affected his brain. He's a law-abiding citizen before that. He's got one COVID shot. Oh, yeah, I can make money out of this. Yeah. Yeah. But what else have we got? Oh, well, talking about injections. Doctors admit link between transgender, what they call puberty blockers, and cancer. No surprise there, eh?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, in leaked emails. So there you go. And it says the WPATH, that's an acronym for something, files show patients did not always understand the consequences of gender reassignment. Well, nobody explained it to them. That's why. I mean, if you're 14, 15-year-old and somebody says, I'm going to cut your genitals off, I think you should be pretty clued up as to what the consequences are going to be at that age. But it should still be explained to you, shouldn't it? Informed consent and all that. But that doesn't exist anymore.
No, it doesn't.
So, what else have we got? We're just speeding through them here because I think we've seen quite a lot this month. York National Guard on the subway with machine guns checking people's bags.
Yeah, that was scary.
Get ready for martial law, eh? Planned Parenthood caught selling body parts, baby body parts.
Share more. That's a terrible story, but go ahead and share a little bit of that if you want to read part of it.
Documents show Planned Parenthood exchanges baby body parts for intellectual property rights. New documents obtained via public record request by the Centre for Medical Progress reveal contracts and conversations between Planned Parenthood and the... Oh, here we go. California again. San Diego. Where the abortion provider agreed to supply aborted fetal body parts to the school explicitly for valuable consideration. I wonder what that means. In exchange, the university would grant Planned Parenthood ownership of all patents and intellectual property developed through research and experiments using the supplied fetal tissue. So here's Planned Parenthood getting the university to do all the dirty work for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're breaking all the cash. Planned Parenthood shall retain all right, title and interest in and to the material. Material with a capital M, that's interesting. Including but not limited to all all right, title, and interest in patents and patent applications and other intellectual property rights related to the material. So now a body fetal tissue is just material with a capital M. Mm-hmm. I guess that's a trademark or something, I don't know. Reads a biological materials transfer agreement contract between the two parties. And it was updated in 2014, so this has been going on some time. Yeah. They're, and who knows what these universities are doing with these body parts.
Well, this made me rather cynically think of the process, the legal process of having an abortion. Because here you have Planned Parenthood that said, we're going to sell the university's body parts, that they will conduct research with these body parts, but anything that they come up with, we're going to own it as intellectual property because those body parts are ours. So essentially they're just leasing the body parts or loaning them for the research. Yeah. But yeah, if a woman goes into Planned Parenthood and has an abortion, is it in the fine print of the paperwork that she has to sign that says she's releasing all rights to those body parts?
Well, it must be because it belongs
to her. It has to be.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're basically stealing it, unless there's something in that contract between the patient, as it were, and the Planned Parenthood. But these are, it's not all aborted babies, it's late term. So they're pretty well formed. And it says here, this evidence shows Planned Parenthood sells late-term aborted body parts in violation of federal law for far more money than has ever been discussed before. Well, again, go back to what the woman has to sign before she has the abortion. Mm-hmm. Does she agree that Planned Parenthood could sell her, which are essentially her body parts, to a third party? Why isn't Planned Parenthood paying her? You know, yeah. And then it says the last paragraph, transferring aborted human fetal tissue for valuable consideration is a federal felony punishable by up to 10 years in prison or a fine of up to $500,000. It's funny, they use the term transferring in the last paragraph when they've used selling. Transferring, what does that mean? Is that not selling?
Exactly.
If you're selling something, maybe you've got different legal protections.
If you want to look at it from a purely transactional basis, then the woman who goes in to receive the abortion,
the procedure, yeah,
she is transferring the material to Planned Parenthood, is she not? Or selling it? I mean...
Well, she's not selling it.
She has to pay for it.
Yeah, she has to go in there. Well, I guess someone will get it for free, but a lot of people do have to pay for the abortion, don't they? Yeah. So they're paying Planned Parenthood, and then Planned Parenthood is selling the product of that abortion, which they help facilitate. Mm-hmm. A bit of a conflict of interest as well, I would thought.
This might be a good point to bring up something I saw yesterday. I'm not a fan of Harry Potter or J.K. Rowling, but it was Mother's Day in the UK last weekend. Mm-hmm. And evidently J.K. Rowling has been in it for misgendering and not going along with everything that's politically correct about the transgender agenda. And she sent out a Mother's Day greeting that read as following: Happy Birthing Parent Day to all whose large gametes were fertilized, resulting in small humans whose sex was assigned by doctors making mostly lucky guesses. And so she was pushed back. People were very angry, and they said that she was mocking them, which of course she was. And then she wrote back, devastated and bewildered that my embrace of inclusive language has angered its most enthusiastic devotees. So let's just say, happy Mother's Day to all females who who've raised children.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah.
I've got another t-shirt I might get made, actually.
Yeah.
I think I might have mentioned this before. It's on the world population, 8 million. 8 million, 8 million, right? World population, 8 billion plus. People born from women, 8 billion plus. People born from men, zero. Feel free to fact check.
What was the last bit?
Feel free to fact check. So, let me get that one done. But, let's quick skim through here. There was the other one where it's a total change of topic, but insurance companies warning the people that about the dangers of 5G, and they wouldn't cover company employees and stuff where 5G was getting used because they knew it was a danger.
Yeah, that was interesting.
And all cheeses in America, apparently, or more or less all cheeses, are genetically modified. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever seen that on the label. And NASA suddenly reveals a strategy for fighting climate change. Oh, guess what? They're going to spray the skies. With tons of ice to cool the planet.
What interested me when I saw that is that there's quite a few scientists and thinkers, they're independent, of course, mm-hmm. who believe that we are entering, that we have already entered a new ice age. Mm-hmm. And if you look at something like NOAA spraying ice particles into the atmosphere, would this not be contributing to a new ice age? I mean,
well, I would have thought so. And the little subheadings here is NOAA believes, right? They don't know, apparently, although they must have tested it, believes drying up the atmosphere could fight climate change. Well, I don't see how spraying ice into the atmosphere makes it dry, because that stuff ain't going to stay up there. Like, we've all seen hailstones. We've all seen snow. It doesn't stay up there. It's called gravity. So that's going to come down and melt and turn it into rain, isn't it?
Well, you would think. I don't know. So scientists would inject 2 tons of ice in the atmosphere
every week. Yeah. This must just be in one area, because, I mean, 2 tons of ice wouldn't go far, would it?
Not that much, yeah. No.
I mean, a small iceberg would be well over 2 tons of ice. Mm-hmm. You know? yeah. 20,000 feet high in commercial planes. 50. Well, I was flying at 40,000 feet, so that's a little inaccurate. So
according to the study, it would freeze water and remove water.
Ice would freeze water?
Yeah.
I always thought ice melted in water myself. It does when I use it.
Well, you're not 20,000 feet higher than a commercial plane goes.
No. No. But again, there's still gravity up there, isn't there? Because it's not in a vacuum. So, I don't know. But scientists, it's science. We can't question it. Talking of which, I've got a new t-shirt done. I wonder how long we'll be allowed to wear them with the hate speech laws and things. Before you're stopped in the street and saying, sorry, you can't be wearing that. Yeah. It's offensive.
Well, I think this is coming on us pretty quickly. Yeah. You sent the one Irish MP or whoever she was who was like, we got to stop hate speech and stop Twitter and stop Musk and stop anybody saying anything that we don't like.
Yeah. Well, she can leave Musk alone because he's doing exactly what they want. So
yeah.
I don't follow that.
Well, it's part of the strategy to hold him up as the kind of an icon of free speech.
Unless you're on X or Twitter or whatever it's called, and you get banned.
Yeah.
It seems to still happen. Yeah. Nothing's changed there. I guess we've not got much time left. What about Berlin Axis plan to establish sex rooms? I mean, this is absolute nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, the person who came up with the idea should be in prison for a start. And I don't know why they're having a discussion about banning it. Berlin Axis plan to establish sex rooms for toddlers in state-run daycare facilities. I wonder who's going to apply for a job to work there, eh?
What amazed me about that story, looking into it, is that this got this was incorporated into more than one planning of one city facility. It's not just Berlin. Okay, so Berlin has axed those plans for one, a series of city-run daycare.
Yeah, but in other parts of Berlin, Germany, I mean the government. Yeah,
yeah. In other parts of Germany, similar plans are still being considered.
Last year, two nurses in the German state of North Rhine-Westphalia introduced masturbatoriums for toddlers, mm-hmm. so that they could experiment with childish sexuality. Mm-hmm. Since when was that a thing? Where did childish sexuality come? There's an oxymoron, surely. When developed, asked about the initiative, the Children's Ministry for the state indicated that it could not and would not intervene to stop sexual behaviour by children. Bild reported in June that a daycare centre in Hannover announced plans to create a body exploration room where children could caress and examine themselves and other kids.
After
significant backlash, the Lower Saxony State Youth Welfare Office shut down the project. Well, how did they let it start in the first place?
Yeah. It's disgusting. This is right out of the mentally ill Kinsey and how...
It's just
disgusting. There's no other word.
Yeah, and there's not much more to say about it, really. Yeah. But
you're right. They all should be rounded up and imprisoned.
Line says, this does not correspond to all our ideas about a child-friendly educational mandate. You're not joking, are you? It's a bit too child-friendly in a bad way, you know.
But I think you've raised a really interesting question that we can leave people with. How much longer do we have to say anything about anything because we've offended somebody who genuinely believes that all white people are psychopaths and liars? So how dare we talk, you know, right off the bat?
The thing is, I for many years, people have said this about being offended. And I say, I'm offended every time I see a politician open his mouth and lie to me.
Yeah.
I'm offended because he thinks I believe him. You know, he thinks I'm stupid. So I could be offended that you're offended.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how far do you want to go with this? That's how far I'll go. I'll just keep giving them it back. Well, I'm offended by your tone. I'm sorry. You know, I'm offended by your face. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't like your tone of voice. I'm offended.
But we know where this is going, and we know that in the panel or the body who decides what is hateful, there will not be room for old think. There's not going to be room for traditional ideas of family, marriage, relationship, values. No.
I did actually read something yesterday or the day before about there was a concern by some body or other that the youth were not buying into the whole woke thing as much as the... were purported to be. They were all just having a laugh with it and just carrying on. And it wasn't just the woke thing, global warming, everything. And they were very, very distrustful of the government. They didn't watch the news. So again, there's why you're going to clamp down the internet, because they've got to make sure they get the right news and they're not going to get anything else. So once the internet's controlled, you're wasting your time with it, I think.
Yeah.
But that'll be interesting to see if people... I guess they'll be a bit older by then, are even more disillusioned and understand that nothing they see on the internet is going to be true either, and avoid that as well.
Well, that's helpful.
Yeah, we can only wait and see. I did think when I was coming through the airport, I thought, you know, if I do get some real hassle here about getting searched or something, I'm going to identify as a woman and see what they say. Because I tried that before. I tried to get a woman to search me before when I thought one of the guys was a bit too friendly towards men. And... they refuse to do it because they can't have a woman groping a man. So, but these days, well, all the gloves are off, so to speak, aren't they?
Yeah.
I can be anything I want to be. So I did think about that. If I'd got some over-the-top treatment, I was going to say, no, I'm a woman. And they probably would have went away and got the most butch-looking woman they could find, but still, it would have been a point, wouldn't it? And I would have said, you know, a few years ago, I would never be allowed to do this. Thanks very much.
Well, yeah. We all have to strategize how we're going to survive, I guess.
Yeah, but don't take it. Just don't take it. Don't accept it.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, well, listen, we'll be back in a month, right?
Yep. Just looking at the dates here. Okay. Let me see now. The second Thursday is going to be the 11th.
The 11th of April. Yeah. Are you back at work?
No. I'm not really looking for work at the moment because the sun's coming over.
Yeah.
In what, 10 weeks?
Good,
so.
good. How long after does he get to stay?
2 weeks.
Oh, good. Well, all right. Weeks. Well, we'll be back in April and I look forward to it. And thanks, everybody. Just to let you all know, and next week I will be talking with Laura. And I'm really looking forward to that conversation. And so I'll be back then. Thanks.
Well, I've got something that the world didn't give me, and the world cannot take it away. And I've got something that the world didn't give me, and the world take it away. Well, it is love, sweet love, oh, sent to me from my Father up above. It is